How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 13 and verse number 20. And verse number 18 and 19, the Lord is ask about what he can resemble his kingdom like, to be able to explain about his kingdom, or the kingdom of God. It is his kingdom, but he's referring to it as the kingdom of God. He's speaking as a man. Verse 18, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And last time we saw about how he said it's like a grain of mustard seed that grew up into this great tree. And then in verse number 20, he said, where unto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Aspects, facets of the kingdoms. These are things that don't describe the kingdom in total, but just give us facets and aspects of the way that the kingdom is. He says in verse 21, it's like the kingdom of God is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. It just spread and spread and spread and spread. That's the way the kingdom of God is now. Again, the kingdom of God is everything that there is that exists, whether we can see it or cannot. That is his kingdom. See, who is the creator? It's God Almighty. And he's created everything that exists, visible to us or invisible to us. The earth, the universe, his third heaven, hell, wherever he's put hell, and all of it is his. It's all his domain. There's not anything that is outside of his power. It's all his kingdom. But the thing is we live here on this earth, and we believe that other kingdoms are preeminent, and especially when you don't know about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God would not even be known if it wasn't revealed to us in his word. Until that day that he reveals it. See, one day, as that grain of mustard seed grew to be that great tree, as that leaven permeated that lump of that dough and took to where it spread the entire lump of the dough, that's the way the kingdom of God moves and works. The kingdom of God is everywhere. The thing is, men just don't know it. But you know what? When a child of God, when a person is saved and becomes a child of God by salvation by the Lord Jesus, repentance and faith, you know, they begin to understand, oh, they live in a country. And yes, their country has leaders to whom they're responsible. That's the ordinance and ordained by the Lord government is. But the thing is we know we have another country that we're going to. We have another place. We've got another kingdom to which we're subject. And it's that eternal kingdom. That's that kingdom that will always stand, that will never fail. The kingdom to which these United States is subject to. Yes. Because our Lord is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, there are many kings, but he's the top king. There are many lords, but he is the preeminent Lord. And so, the Lord explains and gives facets of the kingdom and what it's like. And what's it saying? It's widespread. It's great. It's estimated to be very small by men. But you know what? As it turns out, it's the greatest. The most wealthiest men that have ever lived upon the earth are nothing. The men that have had the greatest control upon the earth are nothing, and when are within the kingdom of our Lord. They are subject, we are all subject to him. So the Lord goes in verse number 22, and through all the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Verse 23, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. So this man poses the question, Lord, there's few that are saved, right? The Lord is told about, and we've seen in the scriptures about, I trust you have, about how he says there's a broad gate and a broad way that leads to destruction. There's a way that seems right unto a man, it tells us in Proverbs, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so the Lord is told about these gates, and when he mentioned about the straight gate, he tells that there's few that find it. And so this man, having heard that, or speculating that that's what the Lord would teach, or surmising from that, he makes this question to the Lord. Lord, are there few that be saved? There's few, right? There's not many that are saved, but there's few, right? Listen to what the Lord says. He said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, Have we eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets? But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. So this man says, there's few that are saved, Lord, right? Isn't that right? There's few that are saved. You know what the Lord says? He says, you make sure about you. You make sure about you. You don't have to worry about doing the tally of who's being saved or not. And of course, the Lord's people should have a desire for sinners that they be saved, like there was a desire on the part of others that we were saved, and that folks prayed for us and petitioned the Lord on our behalf. But when we try to meddle in what's going on with others and get a count on those who are saved and get a count on the working of the Lord, you know what the Lord says? He says, you strive to enter into the gate. You worry about you. You worry about you. You deal with the Lord regarding your sin, and you deal with the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel regarding your soul and your sin and your need. He said there's coming a time where you won't be able to enter in at the straight gate. He says here in verse 25, the master is going to rise up. He's going to shut the door. And there's going to be those standing without saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he'll say, I don't know where you're from. I don't know you. And then what'll be told is that they'll begin to say all the things that they have done. Verse 26, and then shall ye begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And he says, I tell you, verse 27, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We see that reference indeed regarding a hell. There's this separation. That's one of the aspects of hell in the lake of fire, is separation from God and all the good blessings on this earth and this life. Total separation. Nothing but torment and death, perpetual death at hand. And the Lord says, enter in the gate while there's time, because there's coming a time you won't be able to enter in. He says, and there shall be weeping, verse 28, and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. You're going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth when you see the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When you see the the Father's there with all the prophets whom God sent with his word. They're enjoying the blessing of the kingdom of God, and you thrust out from that blessing in hell in the lake of fire. See, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're not there by their good works. They're not there because they declared to the Lord what they had done in his name. They are there by faith in him. We listen to this, verse 29. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. The unlikely sinners, publicans, sinners before you, as our Lord has declared in Matthew chapter 21. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. So interesting how that is that men always seek to be first. They always want to be first in line and first to accomplish, first to do, first to receive in that. But the economy of the Lord is that there's last that are going to be first, and there are first which are going to be last. See, I was thinking about this here in recent weeks, how it is with the Lord. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Because of what the Lord has said in that, I'd never want to name the church that I had the opportunity to name first anything. You know, the apostles were esteemed to be the last, were they not? But they were the first apostles. Isn't that something? They were esteemed to be at least just men, unlearned men from Galilee. But they were the only apostles. They were first in the leadership in the church after the Lord Jesus Christ ascended. And yet it tells us in the scriptures that they were used up for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then again by the world esteemed to be nothing in the offscouring of the world. And that was for the benefit of the people that would hear the gospel, that their preaching and their teaching, their direction of the church, the churches in their day, in the days of their lives. And they were used up for the sake of Christ, and it seemed to be very little in the world. But will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That doesn't sound too last to me, does it, you? That's the way our Lord works. Our Lord Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's first. But you know what? He was made to be the greatest sinner that there ever was. Last. For the sake of his people. And then, having obeyed his Father completely and accomplished his gospel, he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he will be sitting there until all of his enemies are made his footstool. And then he will reign and rule with a rod of iron as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The first will be last, and the last shall be first. If you're here and you're not saved, I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and trust in him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7000.
3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.